Welcome back to our national edition of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. In a couple of minutes, we'll welcome in Steve Valiquette, analyst for the New York Rangers on MSG and CEO of ClearSight Analytics. I'm sure he's got some numbers for us, as he always does. The ones that we think may be useful or useless.
Either one entertains me.
Yeah, he does. He's fantastic. In the meantime, talking in our Leaf Hour edition, the Calgary Flames, tough loss last night. Tough loss on who's been far and away their best player this season.
Yeah.
Dustin Wolf getting pulled after a very good first period.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I texted you guys at one point, just like, this is like, I forget exactly what I said, but it was a Wolf game. Like, it should have been 3-0, and it was 1-1 at the
intermission. Yeah, I mean, they had a horrible breakdown that led to William Nylander, who's second in the league in goals, one-on-one with him, and he stopped him once on the rebound. It was just, and then it goes down the other way, and they score, and you think, oh my God, is he going to try to steal this? But
yeah,
it
didn't happen.
Is that... For Calgary Flame fans out there, obviously listening on Sportsnet 960, is that a sign of a team just potentially running out of gas in front of them?
Do you think it's just been too many games, like for a rookie in the league?
Too many games and a lineup that had what I thought was ample opportunity to put the puck in the net and just no finish, right? Just a team that... They've got some like Nazem Kadri, good player, but then it kind of drops.
It does. Yeah, no, they don't have
Backlund there also to reinforce the middle of the ice. Now Morgan Frost last night, key guy, had a goal disallowed.
That stunk for them.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Wolf thing is interesting because their whole thing is it's built around they have a good decor. They can't score, and they get great goaltending. So if one of those things is not quite right for the Flames, it's just not really going to work out, and that's, you know, scary. You look at their upcoming schedule here for the Flames. They need wins. They have plenty of games in hand, but they got to play the Oilers tonight, I believe.
No, Rangers.
Rangers tonight.
Yeah, they're in New York tonight, Rangers, which is a really, really difficult game.
And then the Devils, and say what you will about the Islanders, they're somehow winning hockey games right now, so they got a tough road trip here for the Flames.
If you only watched the Leafs and Flames matchups this year, you'd think Dustin Wolf wasn't very good. 10 goals in the two games that he allowed against the Leafs. They went out there and they shot five passes.
I doubt he's given up 10 goals over two other games if you cherry-picked him.
Yeah, so tough one against the Leafs this year for Dustin.
Yeah.
The blue line, too, as well. Like, Mackenzie Weegar, really good player. Mm-hmm. Rasmus Anderson, I like a lot, but... Even last night, even on the Leafs side with Morgan Rielly being their best defenseman, just good defenseman, but not great tempo setting guys that can skate. And when they're out there, listen, there's only Quinn Hughes.
McCarr. Yeah. Heiskanen.
Hudson, we're seeing... maybe potentially growing into that guy, but it's really, really hard finding those pure grade A when they're out there controlling the pace of play.
But still, finding above average D is hard. And so the idea that they were going to trade Rasmus Anderson, you know, I never loved that. So I'm hoping they're able to hang on to him.
Thought that Ball is a decent player too. Like, he's just massive and he moves pretty well for a guy that's, was he 6'7"?
Yeah.
He's huge out there.
By the way, how about that Paul penalty after the whistle? Holmberg escapes up, one punch, penalty. It's like, good play, man.
Didn't like him on the penalty kill, that's for sure.
You didn't? No.
No. All right, let's go to our number one guest on Tuesdays. Also.
On Tuesdays. Thanks, Kevin.
Always. Steve Valiquette, what's going on, my friend?
What's up, fellas? How are we?
So we're just touching on Dustin Wolf, who on many Tuesdays you've stated how much you love the guy, but what did we witness last night in Toronto? Bending, breaking, what did you make out of last night's performance out of him?
Fatigue makes cowards out of us all. All right. What is happening with him is he's just getting beat down. He was late. He was slow. He was down early. And lately, I've seen in the data, he's getting beat over his glove side. And those are all timing issues. The hardest part about the NHL schedule is keeping your timing. If you're down before the shot, you're dead. The way that you can look at Wolf right now versus Wolf when he's hot is just press pause where you see the puck leaving the shooter's stick. It should be halfway between Wolf and where it came off the stick. And right now he's down early. And he's not big enough to be down early. His timing has to be impeccable. And it's off. And I'm sure they'll find a way to ease his schedule a little bit. We have the Rangers facing off against the Flames tonight, and it's going to be Daniel Vladar.
That's fascinating. He had one kind of stinker in the game, but didn't see a ton of action against the Leafs. At the other end of things for the Leafs, we had talked with Luke Fox in the first hour, trying to put a finger on who would be their goaltender in playoffs. I know we've had that conversation with you in the past. Yeah. Felt like Stolarz, you know, he's come back from this injury, and he's goaltending again. Like, it looks like he's going to be the guy he was ahead of the injury. Do you have it as Stolarz's crease if playoffs were to start tomorrow?
I have like 10 pages here on my analysis on this question. Okay.
Okay. Good.
This is, we're going to go deep here. We're going deep in the valley.
Deep in the valley.
Now, you know what, before we get to Toronto, I prepared a list for the league and who I think is going to start if game one is tomorrow.
I love that. Ask you a warm-up question to that?
Sure.
Okay. Can a coach lose a series if he doesn't pick the right starter?
Oh, yeah, you can. You know what else you can do, too, is you can leave your guy in too long. Remember Boston a couple of years ago when they should have went to Swayman and they hung in with Allmark and he blew it? It happens. And you know what it does, Kipper, more than anything? That's all the guys in the room talk about. Hey, but, you know, who's starting? Who's starting? You think you're playing? Yeah. It's a big distraction. And that's why you go with one. But I've got a few tricks up my sleeve for this conversation.
Love it.
There might be a little more to it here.
All right.
So starters in game one, out of the entire league, there were really only two surprises. I don't think I need to go through everybody because you know who everybody's starter should be. As in, you know, if the Rangers make it Shesterkin, Carolina, maybe a question mark a little bit, but I definitely think it's going to be Kochetkov because he has sneaky been very good behind a very leaky Carolina defense this year. It hasn't been like the old Carolina. We talked about that last week. Linus Allmark, for sure, if he's healthy. I would give Ottawa very high marks in dots down D-zone, east to west D-zone. They're an A, if I was going to letter grade them. Ooh. Odd man rushes, they're an A-. Net front, that's the only place they struggle, but Allmark's strong there. They have a good fit with him as long as he's healthy. Logan Thompson, for sure, he's going to start in Washington. Bobrovsky in Florida. Vasilevsky, yes. New Jersey, this is one that I think will surprise people. I don't think it would be Markstrom if the playoffs started today.
Really?
I think it would be Jake Allen. Yep. Since the Four Nation faceoff, 72 goalies have played at least one game in the NHL. Markstrom is ranked 71. Jake Allen is 7. Jake Allen's in a contract year. He's very good when his back is against the wall. Over his career, which is like 14 years long, the only time he's really struggled is when he's had to carry the mail. And if you remember, there was like a leave of absence when he was in St. Louis. He always had a tough time carrying the mail. But when he has a smaller role, he always overplays. And right now he's really overplaying it. He's so hot that you wouldn't not be able to play him. So I think Jake Allen would definitely be the starter in game one. I'm going to go to the West before I come back to Toronto. Okay. Winnipeg, of course, Connor Hellebuyck. He's fourth in expected goals since the Four Nations, so he's keeping his steam up. Darcy Kemper has carried the mail all year in L.A., and David Rich is nowhere near him, so it's definitely Kemper. Skinner, because they're not, you know, no options there. Lankinen, because of Demko most likely not being healthy. Aiden Hill has been fifth in our rankings since the Four Nations, so he's definitely in the Vegas net. Gustafson, he would be really close to Vezina voting based on his overall season. One guy that I think's on a really short leash is Jake Oettinger. Jake Oettinger is 70th in expected goals since the Four Nations.
Jeez.
And Casey DeSmith is 16th. He's playing really well. And this is actually, you know, I don't talk publicly about this, but you guys know that I work with NHL goalies even now.
Yep.
And when we talk about, I get asked a lot, who's the best goalie off the rush? When I show video examples of Casey DeSmith, it really surprises a lot of current NHL goalies. He's the best at handling the rush game. So if Dallas happens to go rush for rush with Colorado, which is a likelihood, a good fit in Dallas's net to win some games before possibly Oettinger returns. We've seen it before. I like DeSmith as a fit. He's that good off the rush. Over the last 5 years, he's got the best save percentage in the NHL off the rush. So he could be somebody that comes in. We've seen this with Pittsburgh in 17 and 18. We've seen Washington not start Holtby when they won the Stanley Cup in game one. Vegas has used multiple goalies, so it's Colorado. So this is not out of the norm. And Dallas could still go through. Toronto, right now, I'm thinking Joseph Woll. And I'm changing on this because of a number of reasons, but they've allowed 9 more goals than expected, both Woll and Stolar, since the Four Nations. I'm sure you guys have noticed a dip in the goaltending. Well, they've allowed 9 more goals than they should have since Four Nations, which is league worst. So that's kind of where it's going in Toronto. But my analysis on Toronto just starts right there. Like, I want to look at this pretty deep here. And so here's the reason why. Joseph Woll right now has the highest positive game percentage in the NHL. So when he's playing a great game or a good game, he's doing that 41% of the time. That's more than anybody else. 18% of the time, he has a bad start. Now, what he's really good at is he's at more average games than anybody else as well. So you're going to get an overall percentage that is consistent. He's somebody that can go in there and have a very consistent performance. In fact, the guys around our office call him Average Joe because he had 15 average games this year. but that's all you need, right? We need a chance to win. And so I'm looking at Anthony Stolarz. Conversely, you're going to get even more great games out of him, but you have a higher risk of having a bad start. He had 27% of his starts were bad this year. And that's a pretty high percentage if you're going to be a starter in the playoffs. And all you need to do to get through is consistent, solid, I want to lean on somebody for a chance to win type of goaltending. Now, another factor is Toronto creates more offensively in front of Woll. They have more offensive chances. But in front of Stolarz, they actually score more. They actually execute on their scoring chances more. So that, I thought that was funny. A picture of what they look like road versus home, because this is going to be interesting, especially if Toronto starts on the road. Woll has been better than Stolarz by a fraction on the road, but at home, Stolarz has been the number 7 ranked goalie in expected goals all season. Woll, 46th. So now, all right, when you're talking about the past, the last time the Leafs won in 67. I went all the way back, boys. I went all the way back. All right. Well, they used 2 goalies in the Stanley Cup final against Montreal. They used Sawchuk and Johnny Bauer, right?
Of course.
And I'll let you know how the series went in case you don't remember. All right. Game 1, Sawchuk loses 6-2, right? Johnny Bauer gets a shutout in game 2, stands on his head. Game 3, he has a 60 save. Double overtime win, 3-2, but he pulls his groin. Okay, does that sound familiar? Could happen, right?
To the Leafs, sure, yeah.
All right, so Sawchuk goes back in, loses 6-2, but then has 37 saves to win game 5 and 40 saves to win game 6, right? So it takes 2. You're going to need both. So I don't know if you should fight over or deliberate too long over who plays. You got 2 really good options. Somebody might get hurt. Both have to be available. I thought this was funny, too. The article I read today. Other Leafs were shoving fully clothed head coach Punch in Black towards the showers, but Terry Sawchuk and Johnny Bauer, the goalies who had done the most to make the celebration possible, were by themselves dragging deeply on cigarettes.
Hey, there was a case of beer somewhere real close, too.
I can see Joseph Woll and Stolarz sharing a dart. Sammy cutting the room.
Buddy, you know, 60 saves. Yeah, you get a dart.
It seems more possible now than ever before on a 1A, 1B kind of thing. But just to get to to game one. On average, we probably have 15 games left for the respective clubs here.
Yeah.
If it is a bit of a toss-up right now between Stolarz and Wool, what needs to happen in the last 15 games? Does a guy need to run with it a little bit? Can you go? Can you split the 15 every other night and still feel good? Like, how much is, like, where's the cutoff when a coach saying, that's my guy in game one? Is it the last 5 games, 7 games, or can it go to the last weekend?
All right, so here's what I'm thinking, Kepper. You need to know that your guy's back to being at his best, okay? Now, these evaluators know what that means and what that looks like by this stage in the game. Now, I was worried about Stolarz after the Colorado game. I told you guys that last week. And since then, he played Florida and Ottawa, right? And I watched both of those as well. Now, here's what I know about Stolarz. He uses a movement-wise, big guy. He uses a double shuffle when the puck goes from dot to dot, or if the puck is going from the high slot down to dot on that seam. He'll do one short and then a long, and he'll get big and he'll be square. And it's important to understand that his feet stay under him there. He doesn't get too wide and spread out. Now, Jake Sanderson's goal, right? If you look at that goal and you say to yourself, does Stolarz have his posture? He does not. His pads are touching the crest of the Maple Leaf logo. Did he beat the pass? He did not. Did he have his stance where he has big body illusion? No, his shoulders were, excuse me, I'm getting choked up.
Take your time,
buddy.
Makes
you emotional, I know.
His shoulders were down low, so he's given up top. And now, if you look at that goal again and you just pause it when it's on Jake Sanderson's stick, you'll see how wide and spread out and low he is, and that's just not his stance. I had video from him previous in the season to use with other goalies, and I had clips of him in Montreal making that same seam pass with his feet all the way all the way underneath him. So he's just getting too wide. And when he gets wide, he gets small and he can't move. He gets stuck. So it's almost like saying, if you look at the Jake Sanderson goal against Ottawa and you put 10 pucks on the faceoff dot and you put Stolarz in a practice environment, nobody's going to score on him. NHL shooters rather should not score on NHL goalies stationary off the dot.
Right.
But on this play, it's like, okay, what happened? Why did he show up so small and wide and lose his posture? He's got to get his feet back under him, and then he'll have his timing again, and then he'll be ready to go. But right now, to me, he's not ready to go. And out of the two guys, to answer your question, Kipper, I'm looking at that very closely 10 days going into the playoffs. Who has their game together right now? And right now, it's not Stolarz for me. It's more Wool.
All right. So one thing that fascinates me, not being of the goalie brethren, and in fact, often fighting against them, is guys who are capable of these super high highs and these super low lows, like the extreme guys. And I'm watching Ullmark, and he looks like the best goalie to ever play in the NHL. Like, you know, like some of the highlights are absurd. He's, you know, carrying the Sens at moments. And I've seen him not be that, too. What is this guy? You know, I mean, obviously, as you're saying, Boston before, they believed in him over Swayman for 6 games.
You know, I'm looking, trying to pull it up right now because I'm going to get a look at what his season has been like as far as consistency-wise. So Ullmark has played 8 great games. Mm-hmm. He's had 9 good games. He's had 9 average games. He's had 2 bad ones, but he's blown 6. Now, blown losses are the ones that really piss off the coach because we should have won, but our goalie stunk.
Okay.
Right? And he has been bailed out by his team once, and he has stolen 2 games. Has he been great? No. Has he been helped? Is he in a good environment? Yes. He has wild highs. There's a lot of volatility in his game. Yeah. And some goalies, either they're the main character of the game for a good reason or the main character of the game for a bad reason. And I've never been able to figure that, but I notice it. It's like if you can't be a part of the storyline in a good way, I mean, I don't know. It's just not my game tonight. I'm not shining. I'm not a big storyline. I'm just going through the motions now.
Yeah.
And some guys do that, you know, and you can see it. But overall, there's no way a goalie with his skill level should have 6 blown games. with the amount of games that he's played. I believe it's 34.
Valley, we recently had the head coach of the Washington Capitals, Spencer Carberry, on, and I tipped my hat to him because I thought going into the season, you had two choices as a head coach. You manage Ovi to a record, or you just try to get the best out of your hockey club. And yeah, that guy's done both equally well.
I heard the interview. I thought it was terrific, man. And, you know, he really got me thinking because I've been around Washington a long time, follow them closely, good friends with their goalie coach. I just like what they do, how they think, how they've developed their people. And I'm looking at Washington this year, and it's fascinating because a month ago, if you asked me, just look at the data, what do you think's going to happen? Well, they're on a shooting percentage bender, and their goalies are stopping everything, and it's going to come down to earth, and that's always the easy narrative. However, when you see their goal differential change from minus 37 to plus whatever they are, they might be a plus 60 now, because I looked a little while ago, and I think they were 57, but you have to say that, like, we're too far into the season where it's not that. So what do they do? And what do they do differently? I think this is going to be a team that when the season's over, everybody is studying because they've changed the way that we've coached offense. And everybody that I've talked to in the last 10 years about offense, it's don't put too much information in these guys' ear. Don't let them think too much. They're going to lose, you know, and I think that's all a bunch of BS, especially when quarterbacks have 300 plays in their head. And this is interesting to me. Washington, they take the fewest low danger shots, which means they don't take any bad ones. They don't have any wasteful shots. So they're not shooting to get it back the way Carolina's always run their offense, like put it off the goalie's blocker, be the first one to retrieve it. We'll get them on recovered puck number three. They're actually much different than that. They take the fewest clear-sighted shots. They have scored 8 more breakaways than expected. And I always think about that because there's nothing worse than a goaltender facing no feelers and then facing high danger. So their high danger are going in at a higher rate because they don't waste any feelers for the goalies. The goalies are never warm against Washington. They never really get into a rhythm. Look at all of Shesterkin's best outputs over the last 4 years when he's been one of the top goalies. It's always against Carolina. It's always against the team that feed a lot of volume. They've scored 6 more one-timers than they should have. They've scored 7 more screen goals than they should have. They've scored 5 more from the slot than they should have. They have the best shooting percentage on everything by a mile. Now, when you break down their video, what do you see? It's they always have deception on their pass, always. You don't know when these guys, with the way that they're always angling, and I know they work on it, they've worked on being able to hold whether they can pass or shoot. And one of the reasons why is because they always have 3 passing options in the house. They always have, if you watch their goals from the slot, which I did today, you'll see everyone fan out and hit lanes. Like you heard him in the interview. He's like, everybody is working hard to be a part of it. We know 5 of us have to get it across the line. Mm-hmm. So everybody's playing a role and nobody's sleeping in that role. Everybody knows how important it is for the shooter to be a better scoring option. We have to be in passing lanes, or at least let the goalie feel like we're a part of this math equation. And they do that better than anybody. They always have 3 guys in the house. They also are allowed to pass off the pads from the slot area. And not a lot of teams allow that. They want to see their team shoot to score when they get in the slot. And these guys, you'll see it. If somebody's clamping down on them, they'll feed it off the pad from like 15 feet, whereas back in our day, you'd be stapled to the bench if you weren't shooting to score. Right. They also pass off the rebounds more than anybody. And you guys know what that's like. I mean, passing off of a rebound isn't maybe theoretically always the right thing because you really have a goalie out of position, but they get the goalie more out of position, which is why they have a lot of positionless goals. Now, a positionless goal, the way we track it with our company guys, it's any goal where I pass it to Borney, he passes it back to Kipper, Kipper's banging in an empty net. There's no goalie. You can't say it went over the goalie's glove. There was no goalie there.
Right.
So that would be a positionless goal. Well, they have 31 of those. That's 2nd most in the NHL. So they have a lot of those, you know, just dunks basically. And up and down the lineup, they have a lot of shooters that can shoot. You know, like they have shooters. Chychrun coming in from the point, he's like a forward right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm fascinated with this team, and I think it's going to be one that a lot of teams will be studying at the end of the year with what they've done offensively, because we've always coached defense, and I've never seen offense coached like this.
Wow.
That's a lot of really fascinating stuff. Hey, Ovi, on that goal race, How many more goals would he need if you weren't in the league? Did you give up a few to him or what?
Two. Yeah, he got me for two.
You got you for two?
Yeah, he got me for two.
That's not bad. And I feel like that's like a rite of passage.
Buddy, the second one, it was a pure reputation goal. Like, I knew it was him. I was distracted by the fact it was him. I wasn't seeing the puck because I knew it was him. And he just slung it because his previous shot was 3 feet over the net.
Like, yeah.
And it was over edge. And that's another thing, too. When you look at a lot of these goals, you know, Connor McDavid did it the other night to the Rangers. When somebody beats a good goalie from distance, I always pause it and look at the type of the shot. It's always on edge, too. And how many of Connor's was on edge from the slot the other night? How many of Ovi's are just on edge and they're just knuckling and diving?
High glove, Valley, high glove. Everybody's going high glove these days.
Yeah, like I really got into this in the last little while because the Rangers, they've scored 36 goals since the Four Nations and 17 have been over the glove. So I was looking at all goalies and it's 20% chance to score over the glove. That's more than anywhere else. It's more than low blocker by a mile. It's more than over the blocker.
Five hole?
It's the five hole. No, by a mile, 20% is much more than, it's an 88% chance to stop a save percentage on a five hole. It's only 800. It's, you've got an 80% chance to make a save over the glove.
Yeah.
So the glove is like just been exploding. So it was interesting because this is where it got really neat for me. I remember my experience when I'm working with the European guys that I do work with guys, and sometimes they stay at my house for a couple of weeks and we'll throw a football around on the beach and they're not great at throwing it or catching it because they didn't play a lot of football. Like
darts,
like a tennis shoe sometimes.
Darts right? too, right?
I mean, lots of darts. you know, no, seriously, playing catch on the beach, like just with a baseball and a glove, like it just gets weird sometimes. We just stop doing it because I think I'm going to hurt them or something. Like, we just don't have great gloves. So anyway, I looked at who has the best glove in the NHL right now. The best gloves, all right, from top to bottom, top five. Best glove this year is John Gibson, Logan Thompson, Alex Lyon, Joe Woll, Connor Hellebuck. Top five guys with glove saves this year, okay? Best save percentage, all that. Now, what do you notice? They're all North Americans, right?
Interesting.
Now, the bottom five save percentage goalies over the glove, Sam Harrison, Georgiev, UC Saros, Dan Vladar, who we're going to see tonight, and Kachetkov.
Play baseball, you fools.
You know what I mean? Like, I think I'm onto something here. You know?
Quit kicking around a soccer ball.
You know, like, so, yeah, no, there's something there for sure. And I think it's interesting because, like, I've shared with you guys before how important this game is for the Rangers, guys. Like, they have four wins this year against Eastern Conference playoff-bound teams. And they've got five more games against those teams. They can't blow this tonight. Their scouting report on this goalie, Vladar, needs to be on point. They've got a goalie that's in the net that is among the bottom five glove hands in the league. So they should be shooting high glove. They've had a lot of success shooting high glove, as I said. And they're also up against a goalie that's one of the worst off the rush. And he's bottom five off the rush. And over the last 4 years, he's the fourth most scored upon goalie off the rush. So if the Rangers, who have been scoring a lot off the rush and finish up high, I'm getting to a point when I watch games right now that if I see like a one-timer from the slot and it's on the ice, but it's not, you know, five hole, yeah, you're going to get some that go through. But if it's on the ice left or right, I'm almost feeling like it's not really a legit scoring chance unless you're getting it up off the ice for how we're not seeing a lot, you know, a lot going in on the ice. Five hole, yes, but not left or right of five hole.
Nine games on tap tonight, including yours, Calgary at New York. Valley, awesome stuff once again, man. You were smoking.
Yeah. Oh, boys. Hey, before we say goodbye, I got a neat one on Austin Matthews for you guys.
Oh, gotta have it.
Yeah. Because I know you guys have been talking about this. Austin Matthews, right? The five-on-five stuff. Okay, I'm not going to bore you with the details, but he's not that off on his five-on-five chances. He's off, but he's not ridiculously off, so I'm not going to bore you with it. But I'm going to boil it down to the way that we talked about Elias Pettersson last week, where it was during the year that he had 39 goals, he had 23 breakaways, he scored eight versus the only two breakaways he's had this year. Well, how about this one? Austin, last year, he had 62 passes received east to west across the slot. 62, he scored 20 goals. You won't even believe how many he's only had this year.
I'd 40? Say a third. 20.
19. He went from 62 last year to 19?
That is, I mean, that's really strange. That's, and so what does he have for goals off those 19?
East to west. Yeah. He's not getting his east to west, right? He's not getting
so is that
west.
His line mates? Is that Nyes, Marner? What is it?
You know what? It's what we just talked about with Washington. Is he getting himself open? Is he doing the work before the shot? Are they not passing it to him because there's restrictions within the team? Is it the guys he's playing with? I mean, if I'm looking at how to get Austin back for the playoffs, figure out his east to west. This guy needs the goalie to move to beat them. Look, NHL goalies, even when they lock on Austin, they're going to be successful more often than you want to admit. But if they have to move first, and in movement, what gets compromised? You lose your angle, you lose your depth, you lose your squareness. You got to get late eyes on it. You got to make the goalie move. What was I looking at? Oh, Stolarz. He gave up 6 goals on the weekend, right? Right, Ottawa and Florida, as we said.
Yep.
5 of the 6 goals were all movement-based, guys. Mm-hmm. He moved off of a pass on 5 of the 6. You know, and that's where, like I said, he's kind of getting behind right now.
Right.
Pretty remarkable because Marner's got 61 or 62 assists. So,
well, I guess my next assignment's going to be looking into how much they're not connecting like they were before, you know, and that might be a piece of this. But where did all these passes go? I don't know how you go from 62 east to west in 19.
You've got your homework assignment next week, my friend.
Valley, great stuff, man. We appreciate all that.
Wow. Do you guys have any idea how many hours I'm putting into this show right now?
I mean, honestly, your hourly rate is atrocious. You are wildly underpaid.
Yeah, right.
You were smoking today, not like Bauer and Sawchuk, but pretty darn close.
Oh, my goodness. All right, fellas.
Thanks for doing
so
this.
So much, Valley.
Steve Valiquette,
right,
covering the New York Rangers and CEO of Clearsight Analytics.
It's good that he's a good guest, but he probably shouldn't consistently do our job better than we do it. That's not great.
Oh, no,
I wonder
no,
what
no.
Sawchuk's what Sawchuk's goals above expected was in that situation.
Darts above average.
Darts above expected.
High. What a world.
Game time?
Yes.
Game time. 9 tonight.
It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app, latest odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Like you alluded to there, 9 games tonight. Couple really good ones for me. Habs and Sens. I don't know when the last time these two teams played with this many stakes.
Meaningful game.
That's what I mean. And it's in Montreal. That building will be electric. The Ottawa Senators, as you would imagine, minus 135 favorites there. The Habs on the other side of the money line, plus 115. Don't necessarily have a lean on that one. Think that'll be a really good game. Looking forward to that one. Later on, our beloved Utah Hockey Club in Edmonton to take on the Oilers. Another really big game for the Utah Hockey Club, who are floating around the last playoff
spot. They
chose
a name, eh? And hasn't been released yet, but apparently they've settled on a name.
Here's my idea for our best friend, Ryan Smith. Just call them the Hockey Club and use a Yeti as the logo.
I think the blue sky. The sky. Some
the
sort
sky?
Of sky reference. He's got that blue in there. He's
look
taking
at
it.
Fantastic.
So the Oilers are big faves on home ice, as you would imagine, minus 155. Utah fighting for their playoff lives. That should be an excellent game. And later on, Vancouver also fighting for their playoff lives, hosting our Jets. Jets talk. Jets. Still really good. Huge favorites tonight, as you would imagine, minus 170 against the Vancouver Canucks. Canucks plus 145 for the Canucks on the money line. And is there any other games that are, I mean, Ovi again tonight. Looking for to go to 888 tonight, which is insane to say. As I quickly pull that up, he is a plus 100 anytime goal scorer tonight against the Red Wings. Feels like he may get one tonight. Plus 100 is not a great number, but they're thinking that if it's a close game, he might be out there when the net is empty. Right. Anyways, that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, we'll take a quick break. When we return, we'll get into some NHL news and notes, including the NHL going back to Sweden.
They send a couple better teams over there.
We've got...
They got Swedes on the rosters.
More Jets talk, because we'll get into how important this game is for Vancouver, especially with Calgary losing last night, and the Oilers get some big names back in their lineup to go up against Ryan Smith's Utah Hockey Club. That and more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Blake Murphy.
And I'm Matt Bonner.
Join us weekday mornings at 11 as we break down all things Toronto Raptors.
It's the Raptor Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. All right. NHL set to return to international games in Sweden.
Oh. Okay.
Pittsburgh and Nashville.
So top of mind, we got Erik Karlsson, Rickard Rakell, Philip Forsberg.
Yep.
There's got to be money to be made. They go back every year. Like, I don't know what. Stockholm's got a million people. It's kind of equivalent to Ottawa or Calgary, but I don't know. There's
they already like hockey.
Is it more because of the Swedes that we have here that they make them happy, or is there real money to be made there?
I don't know.
Growth in the game.
Are we keeping Sweden engaged year round, and they feel connected to it because of this arm? I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not, but
I just think like. We've got Sweden. We've got a lot. Here's the problem.
No, this is how the NHL has looked at Canada forever. Like, those guys pay attention. Who cares?
Germany's the place.
I like that.
Yeah, it's the engine. It's the financial engine.
Yeah. I have something about Russia to say.
What?
Not actually. Not a political statement or anything. Ovechkin is what, down to 7 goals against? Goals to catch Gretzky?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we not care about playoff goals? Why do Gretzky's playoff goals? Gretzky has 1,016 playoff goals. Alex Ovechkin's total goals with playoffs.
I wish they would count my one.
Ovechkin has 959 goals. So he's got 959 that he scored in the NHL. Gretzky scored 1,016. Those we don't care about the playoffs ones, the ones that we tell everyone we care about the most all year round.
In basketball, I've seen them combine them, right?
Like career points or whatever.
Yeah.
Do they?
I saw something on LeBron James, and they said career 50,000. I think it included playoffs.
It's just crazy that we're like
something like that.
Everything only matters in these games. But they don't count towards your career total.
I think we should get him on with Blake and Bonner for his NBA takes.
I could be way off on that, by the way. Yeah. That's the ultimate dart of two-hour show, not the ones that we spoke of with Valley. This one, I'm throwing a dart up there that somehow I did read that they...
Jake texted me.
They combined.
Jake, the voice of God, who is a big NBA guy, said they do not combine them.
They don't?
No.
But, okay, ESPN did it on the ticker.
But maybe they said combine, that's what he has, but they count... like the all-time scoring record as regular season.
Just like the
NHL.
Okay.
Yeah. For sure.
All right.
Now, to be clear, though, one guy, so he'll still get to this total probably, but he's still 59 total NHL goals away from
playoff
Gretzky.
Goals.
My reaching?
Way harder, way tougher.
There were two
score.
Now. Bad news, Ovi. There were two.
Right?
Ovi has 72 and Gretzky has 122 playoff goals.
72 is a lot of
so
goals.
So many.
Who'd you score in the playoffs? Remember?
Conference final against the Boston Bruins.
Okay. Who was the goalie?
Andy Moog.
Oh, Penticton, BC.
Backhand, five hole, never stood a chance.
Hit you in the chest.
How you doing? Love it.
All right, so back to Sweden.
Do you think they ever put a team or like try to do like a European division of the NHL?
I don't think so.
No?
I mean, do you want to say what you said about... international leaders getting together possibly.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, this is all. We came on the show and Sam's like, so Kremlin update. What was it? He was like, hold on.
Hey, forget Jets talk. Okay. Kremlin update Sammy McKee.
You're saying,
okay, hold on. Let me try to repeat it.
Like I did with the NBA regular and playoff scores.
I'm now quickly typing into X Trump, which is a very dangerous game.
Sounds like he and Putin have agreed that the hockey players from their two countries should have a couple of matches or something.
At the end? of the Kremlin readout,
which we all follow so closely.
As we all know, the Kremlin readout. Donald Trump supported Vladimir Putin's idea of organizing hockey matches in the United States and Russia between Russian and American players playing in the NHL and the KHL.
Can't believe
that's amazing. Sorry. How did you do that?
Why not?
Wow. Of all the things happening, okay.
Like, this guy, it's like, he's trying to take us over hockey games between Russia. And it's like, what's going on?
I don't
know. Like, can you just worry about the economy?
Just
like,
won his league. Lord. He just won his men's club championship.
All I see is him ever shank it. It's like, is he playing against, who is he playing against? A guy in a wheelchair? There's no way he wins this club championship.
So, woman, man.
Could we now see Gary Bettman and Marty Walsh from the NHLPA sitting in meetings now with those two guys?
He's sitting in international negotiations.
Yes. Hopefully it goes better than the one with Zelensky.
Gary Bettman accomplished a ceasefire in Ukraine today.
So
what?
So they made a comment on this, the NHL. The NHL released this statement.
That was quick.
We have just become aware.
Hey, guys, just crossed our desk.
Of the conversation between President Trump and President Putin. Obviously, we were not a party to those discussions, and it would be inappropriate for us to comment at this time.
All right. Well, that's your international.
Why, like,
oh my Lord.
I could you have seen like Bettman's office going, okay, what do we do with this?
That's exactly. They're like, say that we can't say anything.
Not to get into politics here, but he says a lot every day. Yeah. So you just kind of hope that like this one kind of just passes and you go on to the next thing.
I'm not sure if it needed a response.
I think
anybody would have picked up on that and asked them about it.
It's a great point. But I was thinking about Gretzky the other day, because Trump the other day was like, you know, got a lot of friends in Canada. You know, Wayne Gretzky, great friend. And Trump, or Gretzky has to be just like, stop it.
Please, God.
You're killing me.
He did it again?
Yes. Stop saying my name, man.
Please. Give me a break.
On my knees.
God.
Anyway.
Nobody needs Jets talk right now more than us.
Jets talk?
Jets
Kremlin
talk.
Kremlin talk?
Oh, the worst segment of the show.
Okay, how desperate is Vancouver here to...
So desperate.
This is a potential first round matchup, is it not? If the Canucks get in, and a better way to maybe in a month, 4 weeks, less than 4 weeks, plant a seed.
Yeah. I can't speak to how Vancouver Canucks fans feel about their team, but knowing how last year, when they're currently in the second wild card spot, they got games.
Clinging.
Yeah, they're clinging. Like, look behind them there. There's three other teams that are right there. Every time I watch this team, it's just, I can't remember a team with worse vibes.
Yeah.
You know, they got no juice right now. Like, Quinn Hughes is the whole show.
Great show, though.
Great show. Like, Kiefer Sutherland's having a great year. That's not his name. Kiefer.
Sherwood. Kiefer Sutherland's a voice guy.
He's having a ton of success, that guy. Yeah. But yeah, it just, you're looking for them and going, where is it supposed to come from? Most nights, and I know Petey's name comes up all the time, but they got bad vibes, man.
You said about like planting a seed. I've watched the Jets a ton this year. I've watched the Canucks a ton this year. That's a waste of 8 days.
Oh my God.
That would be sorry to my Canuck fans that are listening, but that would not be an enjoyable experience for you, I don't think.
Oh, hey, for Jets talking, plug your ears, Winnipeg fans. Mm. It was interesting. They said Hellebuck was a top five glove guy. Mm. And I have that image of McDavid just blown in a foot clean over his gloves.
He's looking at 40 wins.
Yeah.
Oh, 40 wins and 9 losses. And he's going
insane.
In with almost a 930 save percentage.
It's insane. The year he is having is an all-time goaltending season. You know, with MacKinnon and Draisaitl likely nominees for the Hart Trophy, I think he'd be a very worthy pick to be on that, a finalist at least. Can't see any other forwards in that list.
All right.
Maybe Makar.
The Edmonton Oilers are getting some help tonight. Ekholm and Hyman set to return.
I think they need that. You know, watching the Oilers a little bit too. Like, they've felt like they could use a little help.
I can't even fathom to believe where this team would be without that trade last season, or how long has it been since
Ekholm?
This
would be their third playoff run with him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so 2 years ago. Like, getting him, out of Nashville was like huge.
The difference in the look of their decor with him in is staggering.
And not to go and revisit, but we'll revisit even the trade deadline. And like Carlo is an example. Like I like Carlo. I think, yeah, he does add depth for sure for the Leafs. And they gave up a first and a prospect in Minton. Like, that's very expensive.
And Minton just had a natural hat trick in Providence.
But Carlo's, like, no Ekholm. Like, that's a game-changing defenseman. A real one for me. And the ones that we've seen in the past, like, not just below that guy.
The main difference with Ekholm is he does have an offensive touch, right? He can help you out at both ends of the rink. But, like, Ekholm, Bouchard, Nurse, Wallman, Kulak, Emberson, that Emberson's been good for them this year. That's solid. If you're good up front, I am curious about Evander Kane, like if he can come back and help them, because that would really be another guy. And you can start to see the way that they can work their way into that Western conversation, because right now it feels like Winnipeg, Dallas, and Colorado and Vegas have a leg up.
As a reminder, this hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. As you mentioned, Dallas, where it is, Miro Heiskanen, we've mentioned this before, very unlikely to be ready for the first round for Dallas.
That's a tough blow.
Tyler Seguin is on course, but this guy is that type of defenseman, like Ekholm, game changer, pace of play. 30 minutes a night.
Yeah, one of those few guys that we talked about earlier that can actually make a difference in terms of the pace of play and the direction things are going. You're asking a lot of old Thomas Harley, who is very good.
My guy.
He's your guy.
Well, I was watching a game against USA pretty recently, and they said Cale Makar's not playing and Thomas Harley's playing. I was pretty nervous about it. And then I was like, oh, put him out there more.
Yeah, yeah. When McCarr comes back, leave him in there.
He's really good. Yeah. So.
How old is he, 23?
Young.
Yeah, I think so.
I think in like another year and a half, he will be like
one of those guys. Yeah.
Well, just a...
And he's got some physical element. Yes, he's bigger. He does. Like he's
6'3", 211 pounds.
Yeah.
He'll be in Italy for Team Canada.
He will be for sure.
Yeah. After how he
McCarr
played
that. Taves.
Yeah, yeah. Anyways,
old Pietrangelo probably not going.
Any other games?
Oh, I was just gonna say anything to the fact
I got
that,
something for you.
That the Canes are 4-0 since they traded Rantanen.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, no, nothing.
No,
oh, and Rantanen and the Stars are 1-2-1, so it's all written.
Trade settled.
The story's over.
Frank Cervelli has a column out right now. I'm pretty sure it's by Frank. It's on Daily Faceoff. About penalties. Penalties are at the lowest level in NHL history. Per game power play opportunities. 5.5 total per game. Some teams, at this point of the season, Minnesota has had 60 fewer power plays. St. Louis, 56 fewer. Vegas, 55 fewer. So, massive, massive swing. You know, we watched that Four Nations, and there's
put the whistle away.
Yeah, they have. And in this, Stephen Walkham, the ref, head of the ref guys, that's his official title,
head of the refers,
has said that their missed call rate, which they actually track, which is cool, is steady. So there's less infractions. Do we like that?
Love it.
Yeah? Okay, so
I want the guys.
The infractions there, but they miss it?
No. There's just fewer. They're not missing calls. They're not calling less. There's less there.
What is the rate of missing calls?
I think it's held steady, he's saying, but it would be funny to know. We should get data on that.
Less penalties is better. I want to see him play 5-on-5.
Oh.
Everyone does.
It's better.
And let's lose 3-on-3 next season.
What?
Yeah. I'm done with it.
Do it for longer and kill the shootout.
I'm done with 3-on-3.
I'm fine with that.
You just like it.
5-on-5 in a tie.
Fight at the end.
9 games on tap. Important ones.
They're all important now.
And after you've watched them and gone to bed, you join us again here tomorrow on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Have a great one, everybody.